Neither. I'm expressing my philosophical views in giving facts as I know them. The question was, am I giving religious advice or legal advice? And the answer was neither. I am expressing facts and giving my own personal philosophical views as I know them.
Mr. Fletcher.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Could you speak up a little, sir?
A lot of people here, I'm concerned primarily in giving several thousands of dollars, $100,000, for services to receive in the future, which I will not receive. So is there any way that counting for a link in the place of common life, I'm not a religious guy, I'm a Muslim, a Jew. So that in the event, looks like there's a whole court, I'm going to go down and take all the money with.
The answer is as follows. The question is, this gentleman has funds on account at Flag, and they amount to several thousands of dollars, and he wants to know what can be done in the way of putting a lien on those funds so he can get them back if they're in Liberia, Liechtenstein, or wherever. What can he do to ensure that if he wants his money back, he'll get it? You've got a problem. The problem is that you're legally entitled to it back. You're legally entitled to put a lien on the assets. The problem is getting from A to Z. The problem is getting through the army of lawyers you'll have to get through to do it. Now, the city of Clearwater in the Pinellas County State Attorney's Office is currently investigating a whole wide range of things. One of the focal points of their investigation is the payment of monies on advanced payment accounts and the refusal of the church to refund those monies. One. Two, the refund repayment procedures and the representations that were made, as some of you may know that go back years, there were times where the church represented you could get your money back anytime, any place, for any reason. Other times they represented different things. They had the 90-day procedure, et cetera, et cetera. There's been a wide range of representations about refund policy. Pinellas County is investigating those. If you contact Ray Emmons, E-M-M-O-N-S, of the task force in the Pinellas County State Attorney's Office, or just call the city Clearwater Police Department and ask for Ray Emmons, you will be doing yourself a big favor. That's all I can tell you at the present time. You'll be doing yourself a big favor, and the likelihood of your getting a refund will be greatly enhanced. Go ahead.
Many of us independent people are quite concerned about preserving the technology of Scientology, that we have had reports of editing alteration, etc. We've also heard that you said you were misrepresented on your adequate source of technology. What exactly is your adequate source of technology?
Okay, we could get in a long-winded philosophical discussion, which I have got into with a lot of very high AOT people, but succinctly, and it's almost irrelevant, but I'll tell you anyway. The basic aspects of the tech in terms of basic auditing, I'm in agreement with. The TRs, a lot of the mock-ups and a lot of the other things, I think are more a waste of time. And in some ways, I think even to some people, marginally harmful. To other people, I think, irrelevant. The OT levels, this is where it gets philosophical. I've read the Bhagavad Gita and I've read Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, and I may be in agreement personally, and you know my feelings change all the time, but I may be in agreement with a lot of what a lot of powers or abilities that some people may perceive to be extra human or something. And I may personally subscribe to the fact that such powers exist. The transposition or amalgamation of those powers, such as is set forth in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, into the dialectic or language of the OT levels, does a disservice to the Yoga Sutras, in my opinion. Now, I've had a lot of people tell me about the extraordinary gains they've had with solo knots or whatever, or on the OT levels. But suffice it to say, in my opinion, without getting into a long-winded discussion about it, the transformation process that took place by language, I think, did more of a disservice to those things, assuming they're innate within the Theta universe. They did more of a disservice.
Is there any way we can guard against the alteration of that technology legally? Is there any legal action we can take?
Probably not. So that's this gentleman's point. Those areas invade the realm of the spirit, and they're not of a legal dimension. This gentleman here was... Go ahead, sir.
I personally, and probably a number of people in here, have never been before, and we have heard all manner of stories about you.
The horn. He's heard a lot of stories about me.
I and a number of people in here have probably never met Mr. Quimby before, have only heard stories, etc., etc. My question, regardless of your viewpoint on Scientology and technology, and after listening to you tell us how you have spent all of your own money, and you're basically financing all these litigants here, do you have any other intention about some political aspirations or something like that?
Unqualifiedly, categorically, indescribably, no. I don't like politics. I don't like politicians. I'm an agnostic with a Hindu bent. I believe in the individual. I believe in individual responsibility. I believe the politicians abdicate their individual responsibility oftentimes as much as David Miscavige abdicated his when he did what he did the last 2 years.
Once the new corporation, the new church, is formed amongst us people here, can we demand that the current existing church hand over to us through appointed representatives such as Class A, Class 9 auditors? Can we demand that they give over to us all of the confidential data, faith, and information regarding solo knots, as well as all of the other levels above OT8, quote unquote?
The question is, can you demand your all the information be given back, the money, get control, demand control of the church, demand rectification of the entire situation? The answer is, you can demand anything. But you're not dealing with rational, reasoned people who are trying to solve problems. You're dealing with, to quote, it was either Starkey or Miscavige, I'm not sure which, you're dealing with a group of tough, ruthless, dedicated Sea Org members. Well, that terminology, ruthless, that degree of intellectual arrogance should not be in anyone's mind, and it should not be within anyone's vocabulary. So when you're dealing with that type of a mindset, what you're going to get for a response is a battery of lawyers trying to prevent you from getting justice, prevent you from getting your files. Your hope and your goal should be to unify together, create a war chest, hire local counsel, explore your legal remedies in terms of having the church account to your group for money spent, folders used, and those types of items. That's what should be done. You can demand anything. The question is, see, you're dealing with, whether you know it or not, you're dealing with people who believe that they're at war. And they believe that they're at war ruthlessly. Well, in a way, everyone's at war to constantly live the truth. And every human being who's lived life knows that you live your life, you make mistakes, you try to self-correct, you try to confront the things you did wrong. You don't create a monolithic group that arbitrarily self-wills itself to be categorically, unalterably, always right to oppress the rights of those who are seeking and struggling. You don't do that. That's the ruthlessness, that's the wrong, that's the intellectual arrogance that's got to be dissipated. And that's what you're fighting against, as I've been trying to say.
I believe I may have been misunderstood. The ruthless I don't care about, and the irrational I don't care about. I want to know that if we demand the confidential data that we feel is entitled to us,
you get legal representation and fight back, and you fight long enough and hard enough, and you'll win. The question is, and Jerry should have a smile on his face, the question is, what do the Armstrong documents say about Hubbard's, or reveal about Hubbard's original motivation for starting the church, his motivation for writing Dianetics, his motivation for creating the text, etc., things like that? The answer is, you're talking about a developmental thing. You're talking about a process in L. Ron Hubbard's mind that goes from a certain point in time to another point in successive steps. So you start with where his mind was when he started, when he supposedly developed it all. And I would spend the next half hour if I tried to describe in detail what the documents say. But what they reveal is, and you know, a lot of you can have conversations with Jerry, and this would have been in Nomar Garrison's book, I would imagine. They reveal a really sick, sick person at the end of World War II. I mean, mentally, physically, and emotionally sick. I mean, so sick that he was a desperate human being. And he did desperate things. Now, I'm not castigating him for doing desperate human beings do desperate things, and people that are, you know, the World War II caused a lot of trauma. He was never in combat. He was in the United States the whole time, except for about 60 days. But he had a lot of psychological problems, and maybe his poor war career and his poor war record, given the fact that his father was a naval officer, exacerbated those problems to the point where he had the breakdown that he did at the end of World War II. But when he had that breakdown, he went looking, and he looked into Satanism, black magic, Crowleyism, and he looked into hypnosis, he looked into his diary, for example, what Jerry calls his affirmations, what I basically call his diary. It's about yay thick of his writings from the 46-47 period, where he talks about all his problems. Some of the things are of a shocking character. He talked about his hatred for women and how women are the source of evil in the universe. And he talks about his masturbation problems, and he talks about the fact that he got gonorrhea from this girl, and how he hates women, and how he took too much sulfur dioxide, some drug, sulfur drug for the gonorrhea, and it diseased his brain. What it does is it paints a picture of his mind and as it was at the time and as it developed through the late 40s when he was writing, when he began to write Dianetics. It describes his relationships with people. It shows how he totally built them, used them. A little story that, you know, Ben has heard me tell, and this will take a little bit of a time, but to me it's descriptive. He married Sarah Northrup in July 1946 in Chestertown, Maryland, I believe it was. And at that time, he was still married to Margaret Louise Grubb Hubbard, his first wife, by whom he had two children, including Ron DeWolf, L. Ron Hubbard Jr. And he didn't divorce Margaret until 1947. And they went through a rocky relationship. According to her, he tried to kill her, strangle her, torture her with cigarette burns. Crazy, crazy thing. But he had a daughter, Alexis Valerie. And he took off to Cuba with Alexis Valerie. And there was a divorce proceeding, and the mother was desperate, and she was fearful he was going to kill Alexis. And the writings show that he was in a very, very disturbed state of mind to be kind to him. And he eventually got a divorce from her. And Sarah left and married another guy whose name I won't get into. And she tried to put the whole thing behind her. In 1973, I think it was, Alexis was then 23 years old, I guess it was. And she thought she'd try to find her father. And among the Armstrong documents are letters that Hubbard wrote about Alexis, and things that he said that if the wife ever tried to take Alexis, he'd do this, that, and the other thing. You know, all kinds of documents documenting the fact that he was the papa. He was the father, and he was married to Sarah, and Alexis was his kid. So come 1973, I guess it was, Alexis sets out on a journey to find her father. And her letters to the guardian's office are among these documents. And then you see her letters writing in and the guardian's office trying to push her aside, and then she writes again. Then you see two reports, one from Jane Kember to Ron, and another one from Mary Sue Hubbard to Ron. And Jane Kember's report says this is a very volatile, very dangerous situation because of everything that took place in the 40s. Shows that they knew. Jane Kember knew L. Ron Hubbard's mind. He knew his problems. He knew the government problems. Knew the paternal and domestic problems. Knew that the biography that had been built up around Hubbard was all false, all nonsense. So she writes to Hubbard, this is a very dangerous situation. You've got to deny that you know this girl, deny that you know anything about her, you ever knew her, just deny, deny, deny. Then you get Mary Sue Hubbard's report, and Mary Sue says, no, I disagree with Jane, this is too volatile. It's too susceptible to being proved that you were married to Sarah. Deny that she's your child, and take the PR line that in 1950-49, Jack Parsons is the guy I'm trying to think of. Jack Parsons was shacked up with Sarah, was Sarah's boyfriend, and it was Jack's kid. And when Jack deserted Sarah, you, out of your human benevolence, took Sarah and the child under your wing, and if the child feels any affinity or connection to you, it's because of that fact. That was Mary Sue Hubbard's report. Then you've got L. Ron Hubbard's handwritten report adopting Mary Sue's suggestion. And he says at the beginning, and I've forgotten the terminology, but it's use a, whatever the type of typewriter it is, Jerry would know, some type of GO terminology typewriter, which they use once and then destroy. Type this out, take it to this girl, read it to her, and destroy it. And this is in L. Ron Hubbard's own handwriting, which is what they did. Well, Alexis Valerie has flaming red hair. And to me, that symbol, and there are a lot of other stories of that type in these documents, loads of things like that. For instance, going to the VA and trying to get veterans benefits. He says that he's going to enter a hypnotic trance. He's writing, I'm going to enter into an hypnotic trance and convince myself that I'm sick and diseased and in need of this disability, and convince those fools at the Veterans Administration that I should be entitled to 100% disability, and then 30 minutes after walking out, I will be in full command of all my powers and all my capabilities, and I'll have the disability, and I'll laugh at them. It's that type of mentality. It's that type of distortion that these documents reflect unendingly in these writings. It's that from which the origins of the church grew, and it's that which created the dichotomy between the drive for money and power and maybe his spiritual yearnings to try to straighten himself out. Those two dichotomous things, one man's fight for spiritual survival and his fight to learn the truth about himself, while at the same time being driven by this power to grab and hold and own, has created this major dichotomy in his life and this major dichotomy in his organization. And the documents reveal that.
Do you have any data on what happened or what's going on with Diana Hubbard?
Loads of stories.
No,
nothing concrete. All kinds of stories, though.
What about Valerie? What happened?
Okay, I found Valerie. When I got this documentation, I thought to myself, well, this person deserves to know what was done to her. And then there was a lot of other things they did to her to try to prevent her from pursuing it. So I traced her down. We traced her to Hawaii and then to places where I can't tell you now because she's now married. And she's fearful of the organization, very fearful of the organization. Her husband's fearful of the organization, and she's just trying to put it behind her. She knows now everything that occurred. She found out the answer she was looking for, and she lives in a state of, I'd say, perpetual fear that at some point they're going to come after her. And I tried to tell her that the best thing that she could do is what every Scientologist should do, confront this organization. You'd emancipate yourself when you confront it, and don't be afraid of them. And that's what I've tried to get her to do, but unsuccessfully to date.